Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, co-hosted with me. Today is Jan Chenaeus. This episode, we are going to be breaking down the 1-1 draw for Fulham against Brentford on Saturday. It was a disappointing result, and we're going to talk about it now. This is going to be a video and also be an audio podcast. But right now, if you're watching us, you're going to see Mr. Chenaeus with all of his shirts in the background. Giannis, how you doing?
I'm great. Proof positive that I have a face for radio.
How are you doing, my friend? Are you feeling any better from Saturday? You're still feeling pretty bad.
But I'm okay. You know what? I would take the point. 21 unbeaten. Just the manner of the way they came back was disappointing. But I still think there's some twists, Russ, and I'm going to play with that. And I'm hopeful we're going to get a victory at the Den on Saturday.
Okay, excellent, my friend. All right, let me go right to you. Just give me your opening thoughts on the 1-1 draw, and then I will share mine.
Brentford played well. They set up 4-5-1, had the high press, closed us down. We looked nervous and edgy the first 20-25. They were the better side in the first half. Betts made a couple of really good saves. Second half, we certainly improved. Got the goal through Mitro through route one, which was excellent. But then, you know, we had an inability to hold the lead. So that was disappointing. But, you know, we've got three games, winnable games coming up. And I've got to give credit to Brent Fodder, as much as I don't want to. It sounds good, Brent Fodder. But we got the point, and that's all that mattered. And we just look ahead to Millwall. And you know what? We lick off our wounds, and then we move forward.
Absolutely, my friend. And the one thing that stood out for me really about this match, I want to give credit to Brentford. You've already done that. That's the way I'm looking at it. And the one thing that really concerned me is the style of play affected us because this was a matchup issue for me. This is a team that can play football with us. They have the personnel that can do it. They have the system that they can use to basically play against us. So Brentford were always going to be an issue for me, more than Millwall. I was always fearful of this one because I remember last season at Craven Cottage, it was very difficult. All the matches have been difficult against Brentford. They have a good coach. They have players that can play the system to play against us. So this is going to be difficult. The one thing that really concerned me was the high press early on. And Giannis, I'm just going to ask you about this because I think it's a factor moving forward. The goal that Fulham got came from basically route one. It was a kick to Mitrovic. He then heads it to Johansson, and Johansson eventually gets it back to Mitrovic, and we score. But the beginning stages of this match were them high-pressing us, and it looked like the Reading playoff match again. My question to you is, shouldn't we be mixing it up a little bit more than we did? Because it obviously worked in the second half. Maybe they should have done it a little bit more because I'm not asking for route one all the time. I'm asking for them to sometimes use it to break down all this pressure.
Yeah. Well, Slava's a purist, isn't he? He wants us to play good football, and I think he's reluctant to use the long ball, but we've got somebody in holding the ball up. It's a secret weapon. I think he's reluctant to use it, but I believe that we should have got a better result out of it or created more chances had we moved the ball a little quicker when we were passing through the thirds. I don't think we did that. It's sort of ironic that we opened them up like butter. We sliced them because of that long ball. But we had difficulty breaking them down, Russ, all afternoon, and that was because they nullified our best players. Yep. They closed space down really, really well. And they were deserving of the point, even though the equaliser was questionable, but there were a couple of even-up calls in the game. So,
sure.
In the end, it's sort of ironic it ended up as a 1-1 draw.
Sure. And, Giannis, you know, as a coach, you've said this to me before, so let's talk about it again. The high press can be beaten. Obviously, we can do it the route one way, but is this more to do with full moving the ball quicker? You've said this to me before, so let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I don't think we played enough combinations through the third. I mean, Kearney didn't have a particularly good game because he was nullified a lot of the times, but I felt his passing wasn't quick enough. And against a team like that, you've got to look at the overlapping runs. You've got to do small combinations, quick touches. And it really wasn't – it was a bit ponderous, Russ, especially first half. We didn't really look like we were going to break them down. And their chances, but second half, we created a little bit more, but we looked edgy and we looked nervous and we looked a little bit slow. And, you know, but then, to be fair, it's a measure of our the fodder plate, but also the fact that we suddenly realized we were in second place.
And I'm glad that you brought that up, Giannis, because it felt like they were feeling this pressure. And when you're the hunted, it's different than being the hunter. And I didn't think it would get to them, but it seemed like it to me.
Yeah, it's my friend Mr. Bellend, Neil Warnock, said that last week. I hate to say this, he's got a point. I mean, it's, you know, now they're back in the driver's seat. They're going to feel some pressure coming on there. And we could feel it in front of our fans. The longer the game stayed in, the more nervy, you could sense it a little bit nervous. And, but I thought it settled down after we took the lead, but Brentford kept coming, and I thought, and it was just, a couple of minutes before, I had a bad feeling that something was going to go wrong. So it was, in a way, it was very Fulhamish. I know that's that's a term that likes to get bandied about, Fulhamish. But it is Fulhamish, isn't it? I mean, it's typical. It's halfway in between, but I'll take the point. 21 unbeaten is a ridiculous record, and you know, credit to the lads for toughing this one out, and credit to Brent Fodder for coming back in the game.
Yeah, listen, we have to give them credit, and they can have their FA Cup final. I mean, 1-1 draw is a 1-1 draw. They didn't win the match. That's the only thing coming out of this. You would have felt like, you know, if you went on Twitter and social media that they won this match, but just got a draw, Giannis. And it's funny because they needed to win as badly as Fulham did. So what did they gain? They gained the same thing as Fulham did.
Well, they've got to be more excited about the draw than going home to Brentford. I mean, if you've ever been to Brentford, you know, I'll cheerfully say that it's a shithole. And, you know, it is what it is. It's a little club off the M4, and frankly, some of their supporters probably deserve to stand on the M4. The trucks come towards them. Small market club, small market mentality. Yep. Very, very good coach in Dean Smith.
Yes.
Very good players. They punch above their weight, much like Millwall have done. The fans are completely and utterly delusional. But nothing that therapy could. They got the point.
Yep.
Like I say, London derbies are notorious for creating, you know, these ridiculous score lines, because, you know, you have to throw the form out the window, because the little guns always seem to have a way of rising up. But it's a good matchup for us, the fodder. They make things tough, and they shouldn't do, but they do. Yeah. And it's funny how we can beat Wolves and Derby County and Cardiff and whatnot, and yet we struggle against a team like Brentford, who really should be in the top six, but unfortunately are not very consistent.
No, very good point there, my friend. All right, let's move on. Let's now look at the starting 11 and the 18 overall. I'll just mention the only thing that stands out to me, the question. And I understand it because I happen to like Lucas Payson, but that was my only question, because you have different options there that you could have gone with. You could have gone with Cabano, but he decides to go with Lucas Payson. That was the one question I had on the starting 11. Your thoughts?
Where was Darren Bent? Didn't see him, man. I like Payson. You're going to play him in a home game, that's fine. He's probably the only one I'd object to. Maybe some may say Callas. But, you know, and I've said to you before that, you know, I wouldn't mind giving Christie a little bit of a run out wide, right. But we've got players that can play. The Piazza's a pretty reliable player. They had the sort of lineup I expected with the 4-5-1. You know, Josh McKechnie, I said earlier, might have started, but they've got a good side there. And, you know, from our perspective, I look at our lineup and go, yeah, you know, we should be able to knock them off. But one of the things about Craven Cottage is we don't have the biggest field in the Championship. So it's not as difficult in terms of playing the high press. It's like, you know, small-sided games, you have to pass the ball quickly. And with a formation where they flood the midfield, that was going to be the route. I thought we were going to break them down, and we just didn't do it.
Yeah.
Didn't do it. And Kearney, you know, didn't have one of his better games. And, we scored the goal through by direct play, but I'm sure Slava Kwai doesn't want that. He wants us to be able to play the purest way. And I've got to give him credit. He's coached these lads to play the right way. But occasionally, you do it, you're right, you have to mix it up to create right. chances, score goals. And we just, there wasn't a lot of it, unfortunately.
Right. And listen, Yas, that's what I said to you before. You know, I follow the New England Patriots, and they have this short passing game in American football that's really excellent, but teams can figure out a way to take it away. So what do you have to do? You have to go long. You have to open up the field. And that's why I think sometimes you need to be able to do a couple different things. Yes, route one is not what he wants to do, but it then opens everything else up. Once you do that and you score the goal, hey, Giannis, the match changed at that point. So it definitely worked.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way I'm looking at. Listen, he's the coach. I'm just a supporter. But I just see it as, why not every once in a while? It doesn't have to be every other. That you let Marcus just kick it to Mitrovic. You have this weapon there that can hold the ball up. Take advantage of it, Giannis.
But we're not just Fulham fans. This is Cottage Talk. This is the greatest talk show in the world. We should be getting listeners and viewers of hundreds of millions. I mean, I'm figuring out that if Roseanne Barr can have a comeback show, somebody as talentless as her shouldn't even, anyway, then I think there's lots of hope for us. No, you know what? We're informed Fulham fans, and we love our club. I do see the value of mixing the play up. You know, he's going to look at the game tape, Slava, and say, okay, could we have done anything differently? Millwall are going to certainly do a high press, but not be as effective, I don't think. So.
Right.
I think he's pretty pragmatic and he's pretty ebullient. So he doesn't get too high when we win, and he doesn't get too low when we lose. So he'll see it for what it is. It was an opportunity lost, but now we're chasing, and maybe some of the pressure's off us.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, that's all right. Let's talk about the first half. We'll just go through it. And the first thing that stands out to me, because we're talking about the high press, is the opportunity from Joseph Boone. Earlier on, very early in this match, and nice save by Marcus Bettinelli, but this was from a mistake from Tim Ream, who's been extremely reliable, but this looked like nervy play for me from the defense in general. They looked nervous, and then, of course, you have the turnover there, and Joseph Boone gets off a good shot, but Marcus Bettinelli, who I think was the man of the match, I believe he was the man of the match on FulhamFC.com, makes a great save, Yas, but this was typical of what was going on early on.
Yeah, we did look edgy and we did look nervous. I have to laugh because, I'd said it, about bringing Betts back. And you know, this incredible run has coincided with Bettinelli back.
It's crazy. You called this.
Yeah, I just, it's just the notion of, you know, I'll give you an example. Of where the value of the goalkeeper really comes into play. We had a game, our team were down in Cincinnati for a showcase tournament. It was a game where I had to go at our goalkeeper because I thought, you know, the ball was going for goal kick. She was dwelling on the ball in terms of distribution. And I felt she wasn't, you know, handling crosses. She was playing nervous. Well, if you've got a confident keeper as a defender, you're a confident defender. But if you keep looking over your shoulder and you're not so sure what's going to happen next, it plays in defenders' minds. And the difference between Betts and Button is, in terms of confidence, is seismic. I think he's made a massive, massive difference.
Yeah.
And what he's done is he's made – it's not the saves he makes, it's when he makes the saves. The timing's been brilliant. It was a brilliant save. And in more games than I can think of, he's kept us in the game.
He has. And what's great about him, Giannis, is that he really is a shot stopper. I mean, that's what he's – I mean, he really – I'm not saying that David Button didn't do a nice job for him, but there's a different level. And I think – I agree with you. I think it comes down to confidence.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's a tough one. For sure, but you know, it's the players will say the right things, but the value of a good goalkeeper who does the simple things well is everything.
Yeah.
And position play, communication, way angles, crosses, awareness. It's key. And he's been magnificent. And Button, you know, might consider himself unlucky, but I think Slava got the rabbit's foot out for this one. Yeah. Sometimes coaching is about gut. You know well enough as a New England Patriots supporter that Bill Belichick will from time to time use gut, and he's usually right.
Right.
So, and that comes with experience. And I think Slava just thought, you know what? Let's change this. It's not that Betts was necessarily going to do anything better, but just he would provide them with more confidence. And it's worked that way. And he saved our bacon the first half.
He definitely did, Giannis. And let's now just, I'll just mention quickly, a great opportunity from Fulham set up beautifully. Ryan Sessegnon's shot beautifully, like I mentioned, from Mitrovic, just setting him up beautifully there. And nice save by Bentley. So that was a really good opportunity in the first half from Fulham. And then, again, we have some opportunities from Brentford we have to talk about. Another save by Marcus Bettinelli on a free kick from a header from Barbe. We have that. And then, Giannis, I have to talk about a little controversy. I'm sure the Brentford supporters are talking about this. It's a free kick, and I'm just going to ask you outright. I watched it several times, Stefan Johansson's arms go up. It looked like to protect his face. The ball seems to hit his arm. So I'm asking you, should this have been a penalty?
Well, I mean, if we'd appeal for the penalty, I'd have been disappointed how we not got it. I'm sure this was a lot of fodder for the Brent fodder fans who probably went home and had a piece of toast and the capsules of cod liver oil, because that's about all they're going to have. It was a hometown call at the right time, but I think I think you earn that. I really do. I think, you know, if you're Burton Albion or Sunderland, I hate to say it, but you know, those marginal calls you're not going to get. And we're on this ridiculous run, and I'd have personally given it. But then having said that, the ref gave an even up call. I thought their goal, because I felt that was offside, but. I thought he had a decent game, the ref, but you know what I've said before, never mind a bad ref, providing he or she is consistent.
Exactly.
I just think he probably thought it was ball to hand. I think it's a tough call because he's protecting his face, but the arm is definitely there. So,
okay.
I'm glad that call wasn't called against us, though.
Right, and we could talk about what happened at the very end when we get to the second half, because I think that was a makeup call. Honestly, we talk about that in hockey all the time, the makeup calls to even things out, because that looked like offside to me. But we could talk about this as well. And there was an offside call on Brentford that they'll be talking about as well. So there are definitely some controversial moments with this match, but I just wanted to talk about it to be fair. And, Giannis, I think we both talked about this off air, that we were both happy to go in the half with it being no score.
Yeah, we were fortunate. We were second best. We were second best first half, and we played nervous, and we didn't look like the team that was second. So it's funny, isn't it? Funny how pressure plays on the mind. You know what makes great teams? It's in any sport, it's the ability to respond to adversity and pressure.
Absolutely.
And that takes a lot. Now, to get to be 21 games unbeaten has taken an enormous amount of resilience. And this was another test of the resilience. I don't know what the answer is. Maybe the players, I don't know if they enact this as a rule, but maybe get the players not to read the media, not to read, look at social media, and avoid it all, and just, you know, go in your little cocoon, your little microcosm, so that when you go out on the Saturday, you could go out to play the game without knowing all the hullabaloo in the background.
Yep.
And I think, I remember, you know, I've read a few biographies, and, you know, one of my all-time favorites, obviously, Brian Clough. And Clough used to do that, so tell his players, look, don't read the newspapers, don't listen to the radio. just go out and play. He had some odd things like, you know, buying a few drinks for the boys the night before a game. But his thing was the focus should be on the game and not external, you know, stuff. I mean, if the players read the stuff that's on Championship Banter, for example, as an example, it'd probably upset them. So maybe there was a little bit of that, and, you know, there was brewing up the rivalry. And I don't really, to me, Brentford's biggest rival is us.
Right.
Our biggest rival is Chelsea. I
mean, right.
Brentford are sort of like, you know, we got to play them. You know, do we have to? They're just an afterthought, really. So good for them for getting a point, but we're in a playoff spot, and we are in the playoffs, and at the moment they're not. So we're in a better position than them. It's not, you know, who won the battle, who won the war.
Sure.
And if we do get promoted, then we can just laugh at the bees as we.
Well, honestly, Yanis, like I said to you, that I've heard, you know, I've seen so much on social media from Brentford supporters and treating this like they've won a World Cup, like you said to me off air. And I just think it just shows ambition. It shows their ambition is to beat Fulham. Fulham's ambition is to get promoted. And Fulham's ambition is really to play Chelsea, like you just mentioned. It just shows the differences. They have what's important to them. We have what's important to us. They just happen to be different. But getting back to talking about the pressure, this goes back to, you were mentioning Belichick, and I can talk a little so much about Belichick. This is where Belichick and Savica are on the same page, one match at a time. And there's a reason for it, because you just talked about the pressure, not succumbing to the pressure by looking over your shoulder, looking at what you can't control, which is Cardiff City. You can't control what's going on there. You can only control what's in front of you, the match, the pressure. Now you, going into that, were the hunted instead of the hunter, and maybe they felt a little bit of pressure. But one other thing I want to mention, and then we'll talk about the second half, is I've had a few people contact me and say that the players look tired, Yanis. And I'll just ask you, do you think this 21-game unbeaten run has taken a toll?
No, I don't believe they were tired. I just thought they were tight.
Tight, you know, okay.
I mean, nerves create heavy legs.
Okay.
Nerves create frayed.
So you think this is psychological?
Yeah, I do. We looked, and I've said it before, you know, we drew with the ha-has. We drew with the fodder. Both home games, one with two goals up, one, you know, we're goal up, going 4 minutes into the injury time, and yet, you know, we blow it. And London derbies, local derbies are like that. I mean, it's around the world, wherever you go, there's, you know, the expectations, and everybody builds up the hype, and it just is what it is. And usually you find that the underdog will try and cause an upset, and they'll make it, they won't roll over like a cat and die. They'll put a good shift in, and to be fair to the fodder, they did it at our expense. But I don't think it's a negative, because I think, you know, Cardiff are in the driver's seat, but they've got some difficult games coming up. And
sure.
I'm certainly confident that Slava will get the boys ready.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, so all right, let's talk this about the second half. And Fulham definitely played better in the second half and got their legs and started putting a little bit of pressure on Brentford. But again, it was a back and forth match. And then it really comes down to, like I mentioned, a Route 1 situation, but it worked. And it led to, this was a kick from Bettinelli to Alexander Mitrovic. And then Mitrovic heads it to Stefan Johansson, and he gets it back to Mitrovic, and he takes it. This is a wonderful goal, Jan. Let's talk about the goal.
Brilliant goal. Brilliant goal. And it's funny, Russ, we had a week of heavenly goals. The Lee Evans goal for Sheffield United, the Neves goal for Wolves, the Jack Grealish goal for Villa against Cardiff. Absolute worldies. When you just go, you get one of them, but you see three of them in a week. This wasn't like that, but the setup was so fluid because the passing was so quick, but the Route 1 really outdid them. And it is one way of cutting the press, you know, slicing the press. Johansson's been brilliant the last dozen games or so.
Yep.
Mitrovic has been an absolute revelation. It was a very good finish. And Mitra had done his job in terms of beating them up, you know, the defenders, and he will do that. But Fulham is a team that I think is designed to really open you up in the last 20 minutes. They're not going to necessarily take a lead in the first 10, 15, but they'll get you the last 20. Because the passing and the possession, you know, starts to multiply and you're chasing shadows. And then the last 20, 25, and you're running out of gas. It was a lovely goal. And, you know, I think you could sense the relief around the cottage. But then the fodder weren't going to die. They weren't going to roll over and die. It's their cup final. They didn't want to go back home losing to us. And they found a way. And it was heartbreaking when it happened. But I think, you know, it's had it been a win, it could create a false dawn as well. You know, it's just the false impression that you're better than you really think you are. And when you win, you never are. So it was... it was a somber moment for us, but we'll learn from it, hopefully, and move forward with it.
Absolutely, Yanis. And before the goal, let's talk about the situation with Tom Kearney. Tom Kearney had a wonderful chance to score and set up by Ryan Session. If he scores it, Yanis, the match is over. It's just inches. But it just showed that we were just not quite all the way there because, you know, that was a decent opportunity. There weren't enough of those, Giannis. Enough of opportunities to score. The stats back that up. And that's just the bottom line.
Yeah, I thought the way we were going to probably open them up was going to be through a set piece. And again, you got to give the fodder some credit. Kearney should have finished that. But have we created enough chances in the day? Probably not. They've had more shots than us. And they'd had a good first half. And I suppose their fans would go, wow, we probably deserved a point out of it. When it came, it was a tough, tough time. And you know, there's a question mark in terms of whether it was offside or not. But then, you know, as you said earlier, it's probably an even-up call. And you don't like that. But you want to get the decision right. But, you know, it was a tough call. But I don't think we'll be too down about it. You know, the players were saying all the right things after the game. Slabber's probably gone back in and said, OK, we've blown that, but we can't turn the clock now. And we just got to move ahead. And we've got Millwall. We've got a difficult game coming up. And let's go down there and let's go down to the new den and get 3 points.
Okay. Fantastic there, my friend. All right. Let's wrap this up with just getting your man of the match. For me, the man of the match is going to be Marcus Bettinelli. I can't go wrong there. Thought he was excellent in this match. Your thoughts of who was your man of the match?
Well, I thought Mick McCarthy was absolutely brilliant. Bloody marvellous. Betts saved our bacon. Magnificent. Just, and he's a player you've got to root for. And he's done a fantastic job since coming. He's been such a huge part of this run. And, you know, regardless of what happens in this season, we're never going to forget this. 21 games unbeaten is ridiculous. And he made key saves at key times. And he saved us Saturday. So, for me, it's Betts.
Okay, excellent, Yanis. One final topic, almost forgot to talk about this, just thought about it. We have to get a rating from you for Savisa. And there was a controversial decision with a substitution. He brought in Niskins Cabano, Yanis, which I thought was a good move. He then takes him off later on. So I'm curious what your rating's going to be for Savisa and also his decision here.
Yeah, I'm going to have to give him 6.5 for this. It's very rare that you see a sub come on and get subbed. And I don't know if there was an injury issue there. It was odd. And just thinking about the player, it's not like it's amateur soccer where players are subbed on and off, on and off. This is going to be maybe a bit of damage limitation because it would have been a little embarrassing for the lad. He's a young lad. And it would have been tough, especially at home. But, you know. I don't understand his thinking, to be honest. I don't understand why he did it. I understand him bringing him on, but if you bring him on, keep him on. But that's, yeah, it was a bit odd. I think he'd been drinking the Serbian juice or something.
Okay, excellent there, my friend. All right. Well, listen, thank you so much for doing this with me, Yanis. I really appreciate it.
It has been an absolute joy and pleasure. And as you can see behind me, I've got I have my Fulham shrine. Yep. And unfortunately, I'm in a school where you know, often these people don't know anything. So they ask, you know, but why don't you have Chelsea shirts? Why don't I have Chelsea shirts? How dare you, you dirty hippie. Don't come in my office talking about stupid teams. This is a Fulham line. Oh, and you know what? I've even got Fulham beers with you for here. So as you can see, this is my original beer, which is Philip. This is Ivor after Gordon Davis.
Good.
This is Rodney after Rodney Marsh.
Okay.
This is George after George Best. I have a monkey who I call Zamora. There he is. And then I've got a bear named Andy after Andy Johnson. And finally, of course, the original, I've got Billy the Badger.
Okay, excellent.
So this really is fine here, and people come in, and the kids, students come in, and they laugh. But as I tell them, supporting Fulham is a religion, and it's a religion for life. And we love our team through thick and thin, and God knows we've had enough thin times, but it's wonderful. And I get a lot of laughter and joy showing students and staff around the office, because I've got about 20 jerseys here. And last week we had, I don't know if you knew about, there was a very serious hockey a bus crash in Western Canada, where 16 hockey players lost their lives. And last week we did shirt day. Everybody wore hockey jerseys, football jerseys. And some of the staff members actually came in and borrowed some of my shirts. So we had about a dozen teachers donning Fulham jerseys.
Oh, that's great.
As it should be. Go you up.
Absolutely, Yanis. Well, listen, thank you so much for doing this show, but let's wrap it up. For Yanis and Yanis, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening and watching Cottage Talk.